You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter number 1. For our staff men, that's the first book in the New Testament.
What page?
Lifeline had over 200 this morning in adults, and many saved, and we're grateful for that. That's a great class. And to Brother and Mrs. Martinez, thank you so much. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible declares that Adam and Eve were the first people on planet Earth. God made all this. It was all perfect. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. There was one item that man could not touch, just one thing. God said, you can have all these trees. You can have the rivers. You can have all the fruit. You can have everything. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's mine. You can have all the others, but don't touch what's mine. You know, it's an amazing thing in life how we always desire something that we should not have or take for ourselves. I've mused on this for the last several weeks. I want to introduce to you some people in the Bible. They got what they wanted and lost what they had. And if we're not careful, every one of us, we get what we want. It may not be really bad. It may not be sin and wicked, but we get what we want. We have it all figured out. I want this, and we get it, and that which we get winds up destroying us. I've watched it. I've watched it. Been in the ministry 53 years. I've watched people get money, and it always frightens me, because the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money itself that's bad. It's the love of it. I've got to have it. I need more. I get more money. I want more things. And I've watched it through the years. I've watched it bite people. I've served in two other churches as an assistant pastor. I've served here for 49 years. I've watched it when I was in college. I watched it as a teenager. I've watched it in my church growing up. When someone gets something, if they're not careful, that they really, it's maybe not even a bad thing, but often we live for that thing. I want this, I've got to have it. And when I get it, it's the thing that destroys us. I know people in prisons today, some will never get out that I've known. They got what they wanted and lost what they had. I've watched people become alcoholics because I want my freedom. I want to be able to take this, but alcohol enslaves every time. I've never seen where alcohol or drugs brings liberty and freedom. It always enslaves. I've talked to so many people through my life and ministry where they say, Pastor, you know what? I want to get off this. I want to get off this liquor. I've tried. I get the shakes. I've tried drying out. I've gone to a hospital. I've done all these things. And I got it. I just killing my life. I've watched people die of liver cancer because that liquor consumed their body. Had another boy just recently, not a member of our church, but family with this church. And that boy, they found him in a restroom that he had taken too many drugs in a fast food diner in a distant state. And there he is, dead on the floor in the restroom because he took drugs. He thought, I've got to have it. Got to have it. I need it. And when he got it, it was that which destroyed him. My Bible shows us Adam and Eve. But would you turn with me, chapter 3, regarding Adam and Eve. In chapter 3, verse number 6, and when the woman saw, this is Eve, that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave to her husband, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves upon them. And God came walking in the cool of the day. God said, listen, I saw what you did. And they hid themselves from God. See, they got what they want. I need that tree. And lest you fault people, I tell you, I think if we're not careful, all of us have been there. I want this. I know there'll be consequences, but I don't care. I want this. I'm going to get this. And that which we get winds up destroying us. Would you please today, would you take inventory of your life? Can I take inventory of my life? What is it that if I get this, it's going to wind up destroying me? Turn with you in your Bibles. You're in Genesis, Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, and you know the story of Lot and his uncle took him in and began to raise him when his mother and dad both died. And Lot became very wealthy, successful, because Uncle Abraham gave him herds and cattle in verse number 6 and 7. It was so great they could not dwell together. In verse number 9, is not the whole land before thee? He said, I pray thee for me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Guard your eyes. And he said, I want that land that looks at Sodom. And the Bible says in verse number 12, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And here's Lot. And you know this story in chapter number 19. He got his entire family in there. He got his boys, and he's got his married sons, and he's got his daughters, and his married daughters, and their mates, and his wife. There were 10 in his family. And Abraham began to intercede. God, don't destroy that city. You said you're going to destroy it. And God said, okay. And he said, Lord, would you not destroy it for 50? He goes, I won't. For 40, for 30, for 20. For 10, he knew by God's grace, maybe Lot got his whole family right. And God said, I will not destroy it if there are 10 righteous people in that city. If you go to Sodom and that area, in that region today, it's all blackened ash to this day. Why? God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. It was a city that was given over to sin. Men burned in their lust for men, and women burned in their lust for women. It was a city where they're exceedingly sinful. And God said, I'm going to destroy that. And Lot was there, and his wife turned back, and she was destroyed, and his sons-in-laws were destroyed, and his child, they left with 2 girls, and that was it. He got what he wanted. I want the good stuff for me, Uncle Abraham. I want the herds. I want Sodom. But he put his family in a position where they looked at that every day. He lost his family. I think of the Bible, I turned you there, but for the sake of time, Joshua chapter 7, there was a man by the name of Achan. And God says, don't you touch the accursed thing. When you go to that city of Ai, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't start taking things from it. Conquer it, but don't take from it. But Achan saw it. He goes, there's some silver there. There's some gold there. And he took it and hid it. Isn't it something when we are doing wrong, we always hide it? We hide it from a mate. Or we hide it from something that we love. We hide it from our children. We hide it from our parents. We do something in secret. And that's exactly what Achan did. 36 men died in the battle the next day. Joshua, the leader, said somebody took the accursed thing. And they went by man, who did it? And Achan said, I took it. They said, where is it? He said, I hid it. And the Bible said, before the day is over, he was stoned to death. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. And Lot got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. And Adam got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Gehazi was an assistant pastor to Elisha. And oh, what a great miracle took place that day. Nahum became, who was a leper, became healed by the man of God. And Nahum says, I'm going to give you garments, and I'm going to give you silver, and I'm going to give you gold. And the man of God says, I don't want those things. I don't need those things. That's not what my life's about. Gehazi heard it, his assistant, he went after him, said, by the way, I got permission to come, and my leader changed his mind. He'll take it. And he got what he wanted. And God said, the leprosy that Nahum had is now upon you. Have you ever been in a leper colony? Brother Poussin, we have been in a third world country in a leper colony. I'll never get over that sight. seeing limbs missing, digits missing, from young and for old. There's certain control leprosy. Oh, there's only 225 people last year became lepers in the United States of America. Only 250,000 in nationwide countries became lepers last year. Since 2000, they have some new treatment, and 16,500,000 been cured from leprosy. But we went several years ago, we saw it. What an awful sight to see. And Nahum had leprosy, was healed of it. And Gehazi, he got what he wanted, but God says, leprosy is now going to be upon your life. The pain of leprosy. I'm speaking to each and every one of us today because I know we've all done something we regret, and the consequence is terrible. I recall our son years ago preaching here in this church, and when Tim was preaching, he said, you know, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. But God deals with us. It may not be something bad, but if it's not right, it's bad. A preacher friend of mine, he said, Brother Treber, and he was a lot younger than me, several years ago, he said, I'm retiring. I can't tell if a guy should retire or not. It's up to him. But I knew in his life, I didn't think it was the right time, but he didn't ask, so I didn't tell. And he retired. He goes, I'm just so tired of the ministry and tired of people. And a year later, and he moved across the country. A year later, he moved back, found another church. He's back in the ministry. A dear man of mine, friend of mine, he's a lot younger than me. I've had 19 in the last year and a half retire. And I can't say if it's right or wrong. They have to know it's God. And in some cases, it's very obvious how God is blessing their life and how what the church is doing. I know it's right. I'm not saying they're all wrong. But one man came to me. He said, I'm from a distant state. And he goes, Brother Treber, wrote me a letter. He said, the worst decision I've ever made in my life. I gave up a good church, thinking I it's time to get someone else in here. And he said, I wish I would have never done it. What are we pursuing so much? Yeah, I want this. Is that what you want? Going to wind up destroying you? I think of Ananias and Sapphira. You don't need to turn there, but Acts chapter 5. They were part of a good church. I mean, Brother Houston, they were part of that early church that was singing together and fellowshipping together and preaching together and heaven. It's just wonderful. Thousands were getting saved, great things. And everybody started selling their lands and started giving it to the work of God. And I'm not saying the Bible tells us you got to do that, but I'm just saying in this case, they deceived and they acted like they sold their land for others, but they hid it from themselves. They both lost their lives within a space of about 3 hours between one another. I'm not saying you have to sell your house. I'm just saying they lost a good church. They were in a good church. They had a choir perhaps like this. They had singing like this. They had shout like this. They had fellowship perhaps like this. It was a good church in the book of Acts. And got one day 3,000 people got saved. And they wanted that money more than they wanted what God had already given them. And when they got what they wanted, they lost what they had. You're listening so carefully today. Here's a man, he had a good wife. Proverbs 5. The Bible says, let him be blessed by the fountain of his youth and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. And he was rejoicing with his wife. But a man started seeing another woman. My Bible says in chapter 8, she had the attire of a harlot. The devil uses the eye gate. With all of these, it was the eye gate, the tree of life. The garments, the clothes, the silver, the gold, the position. And the Bible said that this woman had the attire of a harlot. She was a very outgoing woman because she was loud and stubborn, the Bible says. And he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction, the Bible says, till a dart strike him through the liver. The liver, it could, if it said the kidney, you have two. You have one liver. It's a deadly blow. You don't get over it, you die. And he said, because of this, he went after this woman. She was crafty. My husband's not at home. Come, let us spend time together. I made my room all ready for you. Come. And it was so inviting. And he said, I have a wife. She's the wife of my youth. But I set my eyes upon another woman, and I had what I wanted and lost what I had. And by the way, ladies, you're not exempt either. There's a lady involved there too. Fastest growing group of pornography lovers is women right now. Something's wrong. And we get what we want, and we lose what we had. I think of friends. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I want to be wise, so I walk with wise people. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. My son, if sinners entice thee, Proverbs 1:8. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, avoid it. Don't go by him. I've told you this story before. I was in Washington, D.C. It had to be 2021 because Mr. Trump was just elected, and I was invited to a prayer breakfast. And I was there at that breakfast. I heard the chaplain of the United States Senate, and in that room, and the United States Congress, and to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court people were sitting there. I sat at a table with senators and congressmen, and King Abdul was there from Jordan. Some movie stars were there. A lot of politicians were there. Some preachers were there. And that chaplain stood up, a black man. And I tell you what, when I go to heaven, God's going to let me be black, because they have fire in their preaching. And he had it on that day. And he was preaching with soul, man. He had it on. And preaching the Bible and preaching it straight. I'll never forget, Mr. Trump stood up afterwards and said, I don't know if you get appointed or if I elect you, but you're in for the next 4 years. I'll tell you that right now. What a good preacher. And he told the story how in Maryland, he grew up in the hood, he said. Dad wasn't there. He had left. My mother was a God-fearing woman. It's very strong on the Bible, and very strong in living for God, and very strong in having rules and regulations. And as a teenager, the boys came by one night, about 17, 18, and he goes, Mom, I'm going out with the fellas. He says, no, you're not. He said, I got mad at my mother. I've told you this before, you know the story. That night, those boys did not intend to kill a person. But they did. And he said, I'm here today, decorated from the United States military, and now for many years been the chaplain here in Washington, D.C., because I obeyed my mother when I did not want to obey her. God's given you so much, and you throw it away for such little, insignificant things that will destroy your life. Friends do that. People that influence you to be immorality. I know the account of the man who's a Christian. He holds Bible studies. He's a leading politician in Washington, D.C., and He lives in D.C. most of the time. His wife lives somewhere else because that's how it happens. And they get an apartment, and he's a God-fearing man. But with no supervision, he has been destroying his life, and he filed for divorce, and he's been living with this other woman. And it all came out this week. His kids had to hear it. His wife said, my husband's a godly, good man. He's lost his way. My husband's lost his way. He's always been a good husband, a good father. Apparently that man has something good. Maybe he and his wife are going through a difficult time. I don't know. Maybe he's doing a difficult time. Maybe it's something about midlife. I don't know about all that stuff. But I do know this. He had something special. He was teaching in those halls of Congress the Word of God. He was a God-fearing man. But he saw something he wanted, and he took it, and he destroyed what he had. And when you hear of people like this, and family members, we don't need to be judge and jury. Oh, but for the grace of God, there go I. All of a sudden, we can want something we should not have, and we destroy a heritage that God has given to us. I find I'm running out of time. I think I'll begin to start to close it down. What is it you want so much? Liquor? What is it you want so much? Drugs? What is it you want so much? Marriage? Wealth? Power? Importance? I want immorality. I want a bigger this, a bigger that, more this, more that. Biblical advice that will be done. One. Always, Ecclesiastes 7:8, look at the end of a thing. For the end of the thing is better than the beginning. How do I want to end up? I don't want, and my wife, I told her, I don't want a big to-do about a funeral and all that if the Lord takes me home before the rapture. I don't need to be having all these videos. I'm not against it for your family. I don't need all that. I don't want that. I told Brother Dennis, the undertaker in our church, the funeral director, I'd like an offering plate in my casket. I'd like to give money to the Christian school or to the bus ministry or the college or to the radio or something. So I said, put an offering plate. Cut a couple of them there. Make sure the deacons give money too. But if for some reason, God forbid I even say this, God's given me so much, and somewhere along the line I do something that destroys it, I don't want a service. If my wife would choose to just have a little graveside with some of our family and lower me down and are nothing, I don't deserve it. And you see, well, I don't believe that's ever going to... No, Paul says, place no confidence in the flesh. I can remember as a boy, we had a... I won't even give the illustration of what the lady did for a business, but she was a professional woman and a very moral lady in our church. And I remember the newspaper, it came out early 1961 or two, that she had been embezzling from her company. And I remember her teenage kids having to hear that. And she was such a good lady, but that money got her. Mike Ray has been my friend, pastors up here in Napa for so many years. He had a good family, good home. And Mike was waiting for Dad to come home, and they had the news on, and he saw the FBI and all the different organizations were there, and they handcuffed his dad, and he said, that's Dad. He got involved with the mafia, was making money, printing money. They gave him 700 years in prison. His dad was, he said, my dad was so great. He was so wonderful. We played together. We went to a church together. He wasn't a Christian at the time. And the miracle story, after several years, because of something that took place, he was able to get out, got saved, became they said, you got all this money that the mafia paid you, real money. He gave it to a church to start a bus ministry. He's with the Lord now, became a godly Christian. Can you imagine watching your dad getting arrested on TV? He had a wife, he had children, he had what he wanted, but he wanted more. It was money. What is it that you want? Can we look at the end of the thing? What's it going to become? Secondly, on biblical advice, never base your decisions on feelings. I don't feel like I love her anymore. I don't feel like I love him anymore. I don't feel like I'm happy anymore. Well, get over the feelings. There's such a thing as fact and responsibility. Then number three, I'd say this. Always base decisions on humility of heart. Every one of these that I quoted and others I could have quoted, it was all pride. I want what I want. I don't care if it hurts my kids. I don't care if it hurts my mate. I don't care if it hurts the church. Because God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You're making decisions you won't even tell your mate about. You won't even tell your pastor about. You won't tell the people that have loved you. That shows you you're making the wrong decision. You won't tell your parents. It shows you you are 100% making the wrong decision because you know what they're going to say and you don't like what they're going to say. Number four, don't make decisions based upon sin. James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The consequence is sorrow. Number five, guard yourself with godly people. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Number six, and I'm done. Remember that independence always destroys love. I want to be independent from my mate. I want to be independent from my parents. But the Bible says, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. I've watched it my entire life. In my ministry, I watch people do wrong and then they blame their parents or they blame the church or they blame a school or they blame fundamental, whatever you want to call it. They attack. They're the victims. No, we chose. I close with a man that had everything. And he chose to lose it all for nothing. The man was seated right next to the founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ. He sat here. He was given perhaps the most trusted area of the 12 disciples. His name was Judas. He held the money. He was the treasure. And yet, they came and said, would you betray Jesus and point him out and show us about him and go ahead and just kiss him on the cheek and let us know, we'll take him. 30 pieces of silver, a slave would go for 30 pieces of silver in that time. Now, I'm not talking about mean slaves. I'm talking about just hiring someone to work at your house and not the terrible slavery that we know of in this country. Or yesteryear especially. And he said, I'll sell Jesus for the price of a slave. He had the money. He had the position. He's next to Jesus. But he gave that up for 30 pieces of silver. And then conviction. I did wrong. He went back to those people and said, here's your 30 pieces. They said, we don't want it. It's blood money. You have it. He threw it on the stairs and he went and hung himself because he had made a decision based on, I want this more than what God has given me. I've been musing on this thought for a few weeks now and I keep thinking of illustrations from the Word of God, how many people lost what they had to gain what they did not actually really want. What is it that you want? But in order to get it, you're going to have to lose what you have. God blessed me with a sweet wife. She was raised on a farm in Illinois, and her father farmed that farm. And while milking the cows, God called him to preach. He had four kids. Her dad became her pastor. 57 years he pastored that church. And I said, honey, I believe God wants us to go to California. This was another country 50 some years ago. We came here. She never fought me. It would have been so easy back home because we could have bought a house. And we went into a little apartment. We rented that little apartment. And then eventually rented a house. And we rented a house. And for 18 years we rented. Her mother had passed away October the 4th, 1970. She had to leave her six brothers and little sister. Come with me. She gave me so much. I recall when we came, this church was 5 months old, and we had 20 people here, plus two in the nursery, 22 people. And I said, honey, they can't pay us. We don't have any insurance. We don't have any gasoline. We don't have anything. But I promise we'll be okay. And I said, if we can afford it. She was working for us at the church 50 to 60 hours a week. She was cleaning and painting and typing letters and you name it, knocking on doors, working a bus route. I said, I'll pay you $25 a week if we can afford it. And for 1 year, I paid her $25 a week. We didn't have anything. God, I remembered, honey, if sometimes on Sunday morning after morning service, we had a few older people and they said, we're going to take you to lunch. We didn't have food at home. And without telling them, they provided food for us for that afternoon. And I could think of a couple that'd say, well, let's go out to eat after church on Sunday night. There wasn't a lot of places around here, but they'd feed us. We had two meals on Sunday. I'd be a fool to hurt that lady. But better men than me have hurt their wives. Better ladies than you have hurt their husbands. Because you can't put any confidence in your flesh. The flesh is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? All I'm warning God's people today in closing, please, would you think about the fact he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had? Our Father, I love these people so much, I never want to hurt them. I pray that today, Lord, I've tried to speak to them from a heart of kindness, but it's a warning today. We have teenagers in here and adults. It's a warning that so often we have so much and we trade it for nothing. I've watched it my entire life in the ministry. I've watched people leave a good church for nothing. And most of the time, within a few years, they're out of church. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass one person. I would not call your name. I probably don't even know it. Perhaps I don't. Pastor, you're speaking to my heart today. I don't want to lose what I have to gain what is going to destroy me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house, all over the house, everywhere? Would you raise your hand? That's it. God bless you. Balconies, God bless you, folks. You may put them down. Got to be careful. Oh, be so very careful. I wonder today, you may put them down. Father, that crowd just raised their hand. So many. God, help us all to be very careful. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want my life to hurt people. But we're all so, it's so easy to do what we want to do. We're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, the songwriter said. Save the unsaved that are here today. Restore backsliders today. God, may there be people that would follow thee in believers' baptism, identify with Christ today. Ask this prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.